This brings us to item G, which is an update, a non-action item, on court facilities and the update on bidding and construction of the San Diego Central Courthouse. Kurt Child, Mr. Bill Guerin, and also Clifford Ham.
Morning, Chief and members. This is an issue that you certainly had the opportunity to hear some public comment on over the last few months on the San Diego Courthouse and the decision to move forward in doing a project labor agreement on that project. So we wanted to bring back to you a quick update on the project since now the bond has been issued and the bids are in and they're ready to move construction. I hope we have. On the pictures, Judge Rubin, I was very clear we needed some quick pictures on how it's moving.
I'm here to help.
But as you recall, this project is our largest project that we have right now under our construction program. It's 22-story, 71-room courthouse in downtown San Diego that's replacing a seismically dangerous facility and certainly an inadequate facility on security. So there was absolutely the need to move forward with this project as expeditiously as possible. Department of Finance had been very concerned that because of those seismic risks for which the state has the obligation under that the project needed to move forward very quickly. So with that concern, there was certainly, as we considered, the need to ensure that there won't be disruptions in the construction of the project as it moves forward. And so with that, there was the direction to our Rudolph and Sweatin, our CM at risk contractor on this project, to negotiate with the Trades Council and develop a project labor agreement. So that project labor agreement, as you may recall, is between the contractor and the state and local trades. I just wanted to mention a couple points, and then Clifford can give just an update on the project. But the PLA requires that all of the subcontractors, be they union or non-union, agree to pay prevailing rates. We do that, obviously, anyway in our projects. It doesn't require that there be union membership in order to work on the project, but it it does require that the contractors do pay the union benefits. An important piece of this was that there is a threshold for which the PLA would apply, so any contracts under $125,000 are not covered by the project labor agreement, with providing the ability to ensure that smaller contractors, minority-owned businesses, would be able to participate in some of those contracts. And then, importantly, there's a no-strike, no-lockout clause within the PLA. So what that assures that if there are any disputes, and that we have something like 30 labor contracts over the course of this contract and construction that will be negotiated. So to the extent that there was any difficulty in reaching agreement in those contracts, you could shut down the project and you could even extend as well if there are sympathy strikes have been considered for projects outside of our project. So this ensures that there is no strike provision for them, and to the extent that there are any disputes, there are expedited grievance procedures to resolve those, all with the idea of keeping the project moving along as quickly as possible. Bidding on the project began in August and was completed in October of this last year. There were approximately 150 responsive bids received for 53 of the subcontract trade packages that were within the scope on average. There were four pre-qualified subcontractors for every trade package, and on average three subcontractors bid on each of the subcontract trade packages. A couple of notes on this right now is that 21% of the subcontractors ended up not being union. That's 70% of the total value of the bid, or about $63 million. 21% of the subs are indeed small business, women-owned, minority-owned businesses as well. That's about 7% of the total budget, or $28 million. So I think the important point that we wanted to bring back to you right now is that the total of the accepted subcontractor bids on this project ended up being $447.3 million, which is 0.6% below the approved GMP budget. That's the guaranteed maximum price budget. So in other words, we came in under the anticipated contract amount. There was a lot of assertions that a PLA would be very expensive to drive up costs for the project, but in the final analysis, we did not exceed the budget amount as was being asserted. But importantly, as Justice Hill in the past had made the point that because of the size of this project, it was important to move forward, but this will be one that we want to do an evaluation before we'll consider any other further PLAs on new projects that are coming forward. And so we will be doing an evaluation, first of all, on the bidding amount that we said we would provide you all, but also for consideration as we look at future projects, if indeed it provides benefits. And then we'll follow that up with an evaluation over the course of the construction of the project to ensure that we were getting those parts that we wanted out of the PLA along the way. Those will involve issues such as, was there any work stoppages, slowdowns? Did we get any disputes resolved quickly, properly? And importantly, the quality of the labor on the project. That's a significant piece that we have with that. So we'll have that analysis. Staff is working on that now in the near future. But we wanted to make sure, since there was so much discussion with the council, that you knew where we came in on that. I asked Clifford if he would just do a quick summary on the status of the project, and that Ruben was gracious enough to show us that things are now ready to move along on the project. Clifford?
What Judge Rubin's photograph shows is that the very first activities of construction are the abatement of the asbestos in the existing building, the King Stallman Bail Bonds building, a prominent local landmark. And that activity is underway according to all the regulations. I want to make one very important point. We would not be at this point in this project if it wasn't for the astute leadership of Judge So, who is the chairman over the last 4 or 5 years of the Court Advisory Committee and has guided us and the Superior Court in San Diego through a lot of minefields. And without you, Judge So, we would not be having this conversation today. So thank you. We anticipate that the project will go smoothly. We have Kurt and Bill and I met with a representative of the local trades council about a month ago, and they have subsequently met with the general contractor of the CM at Risk and are actively working on making sure that all of the things that are in the PLA are, on their side are coming to pass. Kurt mentioned that we got very good coverage on what we call coverage In other words, we got very good a response to all of the bid packages, which was a concern that had been raised that the PLA would scare away some of the bidders. And in that market, the two largest electrical contractors are non-union contractors. Somewhat like Sacramento, the largest electrical contractor in Sacramento is a non-union contractor. Doesn't mean that they're bad contractors. It just means that they have a different way of doing their business. Both of those non-union contractors bid on San Diego along with another reputable contractor, large contractor, and the selected subcontractor is a non-union contractor who's paired up with a union contractor to provide the field labor, so all the installation and all of the field work is actually with a union contractor. And that bid package or that trade package, which is a very large contract, $50 million for San Diego, so it's a big deal, was slightly under the budget. So I think the competitiveness of the three bidders came to pass. We think that that's a good indication that the PLA did not have an adverse effect. And as Kurt said, there are 11 other selected subcontractors out of the 50 plus that are non-union that have been selected as the responsible bidders. In terms of the construction activity, as I said, we're underway. Groundbreaking that Judge So will host is March 10th. The buildings will be demolished during that period of time, and the foundations will start shortly after that. By the early summer this year, the foundations will be complete. Late summer this year, early fall, the steel will start to be erected on the site. The building enclosure will start in late spring of 2015, next year. We will occupy the building in October of 2016. For those of you that know the project, there is a bridge, 180-foot-long bridge that spans from the new building to the existing Hall of Justice is supported on one pier. That will be erected in February of 2015. You're all invited for that. To give you a sense, as Kurt said, of the scale of this project, it's the largest, most urban, tallest building in our program, at least our current program. It's approximately the same size as Wells Fargo Center on Capitol Mall or the other high-rise on Capitol Mall more recently constructed building that the Court of Appeal was temporarily in for the last couple of years. It's bigger in area, but in terms of presence on the skyline and height, think of those buildings when you think of San Diego. We don't have any other building like that in our program. We have a few big buildings, but they're all fairly horizontal, and they have bigger sites. This is sidewalk to sidewalk, edge to edge. It will be an event to watch, and I'm confident that our builders and our architects and our engineers are up to the task, and we're looking forward to seeing it happen. Okay.
Thank you.
Bill, and we have one other piece of this project that we're moving on, and that will be that we have a large facility that we will be responsible for demolishing and a couple of parcels of property that the existing courthouse is on now. Let's be able to just discuss a little bit what the plan is for that one.
Yeah, thanks, Kurt. We do own two parcels that were transferred to the AOC from the county when we took over the building that exists there now. There are two significant parcels in downtown San Diego, and we are obligated to demolish the existing building once the new building is completed. There's a court complex there that needs to be demolished and made way, so it's not in our liability anymore. To do that, we are looking to issue a request for information from interested parties, developers in the Southern California area, to solicit ideas about how they might use those two pieces of property in exchange for the demolition of the existing building, contributing to the life of San Diego, and maximizing the return to the AOC for the value of the property that's down there. So our intention is to solicit ideas from the private sector about how they would use those properties in exchange for demolishing the building and any other consideration that might be part of that mix. We think the property is really valuable. If those ideas are something that is of interest to all of us, we will issue a request for proposal or a request for qualifications to the contractor. We haven't decided how to proceed with that yet, actually ask them to propose very specifically about what they would do in exchange for the property. So we think we could demolish the buildings at a minimum in exchange for the property and hopefully get some other value as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Justice Hall, then Judge Moore.
Chief, originally I had a question that Kurt answered right at the end of his remarks, and that is that when this project labor agreement was announced, of course, it raised some controversy, and we made the point that this would be an investment test project in that regard. It would be an evaluation, which Kurt confirms will be the case, to see whether or not project labor agreements are indeed in the best interest of the branch as our construction goes forward. And also, as we all recall, we've had the speakers feeling quite strongly on the point, both pro and con, since that agreement was entered into. And so I think that a detailed evaluation on those points is important, and I think it's also important to determine as best we can whether indeed any subcontractors will indeed close out of the process by this agreement. It's encouraging to hear that certain non-union contractors felt that they were able to make the apparent that they were accepted, which is positive. But and I don't know how you evaluate other than by word of mouth how many of the volume of people who closed out, if any, by the project labor agreement. But it seems to me that to the extent we could determine that, but that might be a point that we want to consider.
Judge Jacobson?
The question I have is the value of the property similar to the cost of ventilation? These are downtown properties, right? I mean, valuable properties, location wise?
Yeah. One of the properties is immediately on Broadway, which is the main business street in San Diego. The other is less valuable because it's near to a fault line. But the combination of the two, we think, and again, this based on some information we've collected, but not a whole lot of information so far, it's at least equivalent to demolishing the building.
What are the approximate values of the property and the cost of demolition?
We haven't really evaluated them yet. The cost of demolition is about $25 million, and we think the property at least has some of that. But the RFI is going to sort of address that.
The RFI will be a very quick RFI. We're putting it out for about 45 days, I think, ultimately, and we'll see. There is already and has been some expressed interest down there, not only for there's also a jail on the site that we now have title to that a private contractor has and is currently leasing that to the federal government for their in-custodies there. So we anticipate that there may, whether we see all of those in the RFI or not, that there may be some creative solutions, but the top of the requirement was that it's got to include the demolition of the current courthouse. Our current contractual agreement does include demolition of the jail also, but if others were to propose solutions that would leave that jail in place,
The demolition is not included in the $447 million?
This is outside the project. That's right.
Judge Rosenberg?
Thank you, Chief. Thank you for the presentation. Just two quick clarifying questions. First of all, with regard to the non-union contractors and subcontractors, and you have a fair number of them involved, are they going to be subject to the project labor agreement?
Yes.
Okay. And then secondly, you said there was an exemption made for contractors that under $125 million. Is that the total exemption for those folks? And I take it they're not subject to the project labor agreement.
So if a subcontract is less than $125,000, that subcontractor does not have to sign the PLA.
Okay. And in that regard, any concern about those folks going out on a strike?
Well, I think the possibility exists, but they're such small contracts that they generally are either a very short period of time, or they might not even be on the site. They might be just supplying some product that is installed by others. So I think the risk to us is less. Often those subcontracts might be a what we call a third tier. They might be below somebody else's contract who would have responsibility for taking care of them.
And that's really the balance that you want to walk, because you do want small businesses to participate in the bidding. You do want minority-owned businesses participating in the bidding as well. So there is a whole range you could go. It's probably no surprise that was probably the most contested part of the discussions on where that threshold would actually be.
Well, thank you for the thorough presentation. It was timely. We were all interested, especially given the public comment that we had received and this being the branch's largest project thus far. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.